Welcome back to the OU Shnai Mikra project and our study of Parshat Va'era. This is Menachem Leibtag, and in today's show we study Sheni, the second Aliyah. Today's Aliyah has a list of family names, and it would be very difficult to understand why precisely we need all these names and why they're located at this point in Sefer Shemot. We'll try to deal with that question after we read the Psukim. First, let's read and go through the Psukim and understand their structure and their point, and then we'll discuss afterwards what they're doing at this point in Parshat Va'era. Ela Roshe Beit Avotam, these are the leaders of the houses of their fathers or of their tribes. Bnei Reuven, the children of Reuven or the sons of Reuven. Bechor Yisrael, the firstborn of Yaakov, also known as Israel. Chanoch Ufalu, Chetzron V'Charmi, Ela Mishpot Reuven. These are the four sons of Reuven. They were the heads of the families of Reuven. Uvenei Shimon, from the children of Shimon, the second son of Yaakov. Yimuel V'Yamin V'Ohad V'Yachin V'Tzohar. V'Sha'ol Ben Aknanit. These were the five sons of Shimon. Ela Mishpot Shimon, these are the families of Shimon, and in issues of leadership for either the tribe of Reuven or Shimon, these were the family clans, and each of these family clans had a leader in decisions regarding the tribe. As we're going to see, the primary focus of this section will be the tribe of Levi. Now we have a slight change in format, and as opposed to Ela Roshe Beit Avotam, now we have Ve'ele Shmot Bnei Levi L'Toldotam. These are the names of the children of Levi according to their birth or their genealogies. Again, notice the difference between Pasuk Yudalit, Elu Roshe Beit Avotam, and now Elu Shmot Bnei Levi. These are the names of the house of Levi, hence we'll include everybody. Up until now, we only had the leaders of the families, and now we're going to focus more on Shevet Levi, first with all their names, and then more specifically, who are going to emerge as the leaders of that family. There's a nice argument among the commentators on Pasuk Yudalit when it says Elu Roshe Beit Avotam, these are the leaders. Is it referring to Shevet Levi, which will be described later on, beginning in Pasuk Tet Zayin, or is it referring to the leaders of the house of Reuven and Shimon, in Yudalit and Tetvav? You can take a look there and see a very interesting discussion. Now we're going to trace the family of Levi, and if you remember back in Parshat Vayigash, back in Perek Mem Vav, when Yaakov, on his way down to Egypt, had offered sacrifices to God, and God told him it was okay to go down to Egypt, not to worry, but not only is it okay, but you must remain there because you're going to become a great nation there. Immediately afterwards, in chapter 46, we began back then with a very similar list of genealogies. There we had all 12 tribes. Here we only have first the tribes of Reuven and Shimon, and now a focus on the tribe of Levi. The obvious question arises, why does this parshiyah begin with Reuven and Shimon instead of beginning directly with Levi? Because there's no doubt the primary focus here are the Toldot of Levi. Ramban, in his commentary to Pasuk Yudalit, suggests that if we had begun with Levi, someone might think that Levi was the firstborn. First, we have to explain that even though Reuven was born first and should have been the Bechor and should have had the leadership, he lost that leadership, as we saw in the Brachot of Yaakov to his children. Shimon lost his leadership as well. And now the leadership role transferred to the tribe of Levi. In Pasuk Tetzayin, he uses that to explain why we only have the lists of the people who came down to Egypt in regard to Reuven and Shimon, whereas in Levi, we get the entire genealogy all the way down to the time of Moshe and Aaron. Rashbam goes in a different direction, and he understands Reuven, Shimon, and Levi as one group because all three of these sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, did not receive proper blessings from Yaakov, the father, but rather appeared to be cursed by the father in Parshat Vayechi. Here, this parsha was written to show us that despite that curse, and despite the fact they did not get a blessing, they remained in Egypt and remained part of the family, and they prospered in Egypt as well. His commentary is very similar to Rashi's commentary, which also relates to the fact that we have to emphasize that they also were part of Am Yisrael in Egypt, despite the klalot that they received from the father Yaakov. So let's continue now with Pasuk Tetzayin. Ve'ele Shmot Bnei Levi, L'Toldotam, Gershon, Kat, Umrari. The three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kat, Umrari, they will emerge many times later, especially in Sefer Bamidbar. Ushnei Chaye Levi, the years of the life of Levi, Sheva Ushoshim Umat Shana. 137 years, that was the total years of Levi. Unlike Reuven and Shimon, now we get the genealogies and the years of each generation. This is something very similar to the list of genealogies we had in the beginning of Sefer Bereshit, where we not only had the genealogies from one generation to the next, but also how many years each one lived. Bnei Gershon, the children of Gershon, Livni v'Shimi l'mishpachotam. As the three sons of Levi were Gershon, Kat, Umrari, now we're going to go in order and see the grandchildren of Levi, the two sons of Gershon, Livni and Shimi, Uvnei Kahat, Amram v'Yitzar, Chevron v'Uziel, four sons of Kahat, Amram, Yitzar, Chevron and Uziel, Ushnei Chaye Kahat, and the total years of Kahat, Shalosh Ushloshim Umat Shana, now 133 years, Bnei Merari, Machli Mushi, the children now of the third son of Levi, Mari, he has Machli and Mushi, two sons. Ele mishpachot ha-Levi le-todotam. Now we have a complete list of the families of Levi, his children and grandchildren. Now we're going to begin the third section in these genealogies about the marriages of certain members of this family. Pasachaf, Daikach Amram et Yocheved dodoto lo li'isha. Amram took Yocheved, his aunt, for a wife. Vatele lo et Aaron vet Moshe. Ushnei chaye Amram shebu shalshim umat shana. Amram gave birth to Aaron and Moshe, and the total years of the life of Amram was 137 years. If you follow the internal structure of these genealogies, there's something very interesting that develops in patterns of three. We first introduced three tribes, three Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. After going into detail with the first generation of the families of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, then we have the three families of Levi, which are Gershon, Kahat, and Merari. And unlike in the genealogies of Reuven and Shimon, now we go to the grandchildren of Levi, the third generation, instead of just the second generation. We also follow the lifespan of three generations of Levi. We have the life of Levi, 137 years. And then we also had the life of Kahat, which was 133 years. We saw that back in Pasuk Yitched. And now we have the life of Amram, which was 137 years. So again, we follow the lifespan of three generations of Levi. Now we're going to have three generations of marriages. We're going to talk about the marriage of Amram to Yocheved. Later on, we're going to talk about the marriage of Aaron to Elisheva. And later on, we're going to talk about the marriage of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, to one of the daughters of Putiel for a wife. So it's very interesting how this pattern of three continues throughout this entire section. So let's continue now. Amram married Yocheved, his aunt, and gave birth to Aaron and Moshe. And if you're wondering how someone could marry their aunt, we know that's forbidden in the laws of Arayot in Sefer Vayikra Perek Yudchet. This is before Matan Torah, and many of the restrictions that we find later in Matan Torah that Am Yisrael receives at Har Sinai did not apply before the Torah was given, or according to some commentators, it may have applied in the land of Israel, but not outside the land of Israel. And that explains why Yaakov was able to marry two sisters back in Sefer Bereshit. Now that we are focusing on the family of Kahat, and recall that Kahat had four sons, Amram, Yitzhar, Hebron, and Uziel, the next set of psukim are going to explain the children of only three of those sons. Bnei Yitzhar, Korach, Nefeg, and Zichri. The sons of Yitzhar, interestingly, three sons, Korach, Nefeg, and Zichri. Bnei Uziel, Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sitri. Uziel also had three sons, Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sitri. Who are we missing? For some reason, we don't have the children of Hebron. Recall again that Kahat had four sons, Amram, Yitzhar, Hebron, and Uziel. We only follow the genealogies of three of those sons, Amram, Yitzhar, and Uziel. Amram had Moshe and Aaron, and then Yitzhar had three sons, and Uziel had three sons. It's also interesting to note, as many commentators do, that these children of Yitzhar and Uziel are going to appear later on in Chumash. Korach will be the leader of the famous rebellion in Sefer Bamidbar, and Mishael and Elzaphan are going to be the two Kohanim who helped take the bodies of Nadav and Abihu out of the Kodesh in the tragic story in Parshat Shmini on the day that the Mishkan is dedicated. Now we have the next marriage. After the marriage of Amram to Yocheved, we have the marriage now of Aaron to Elisheva, Pasach Chav Gimel. Vaykach Aaron et Elisheva bat Aminadav achot Nachshon lo li'isha. Vatedet lo et Nadav et Abihu et Elazar vet Itamar. Aaron marries Elisheva, who happens to be the sister of the prince of Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav. She gives birth to four sons, the famous Nadav and Avihu, and Eleazar and Itamar. Then we go one generation further to the children of Korach, Uvnei Korach, Asir ve'Elkanah v'Avi Asaf. We need to mention these children because we're told later on in Sefer Bamidbar, Uvnei Korach lometu. These are the sons of Korach who were not in the rebellion and they did not die. In fact, later they become some of the greatest composers in the book of Tehillim, Lamnatzeach Livnei Korach. Ela mishpachot hakarchi, these are the families of Korach. Now we have the third marriage, Elazar ben Aaron, lekach lo mibnot Putiel lo li'isha. Elazar, the son of Aaron, took from the daughters of Putiel. We don't know who Putiel is. In the commentators, there's two opinions. It could be referring to the daughters of Yitro, or it could be referring to the daughters of Yosef, a tzaddik. Vatedado et Pinchas, she gave birth to his son Pinchas. Pinchas, again, will be a famous character later in Chumash. Ela rashei avot halevim lemishpachotam, these are the leaders of the household of Levi, according to their families. In a certain way, we introduce the caste that's going to be prominent in the rest of the stories in Sefer Shmot, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Now that we've finished the genealogies of the house of Levi, we're going to summarize and focus on Moshe and Aaron themselves, and let's explain why. This will connect these genealogies to the last pasuk of the first Aliyah, take a look back in Pasuk Yud Gimel in Perek Vav in verse 13. Vayidaber Adonai Moshe ve'el Aharon vayitzaveim al bnei Yisrael ve'el Paro melech Mitzrayim lotzia bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim, to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt. Recall that we explained Moshe and Aaron get a double mission. Their job to bnei Yisrael is to convince them to rid their ways of idol worship, to be worthy of coming out of Egypt. Their job to Paro will be to convince him that bnei Yisrael must leave the land of Egypt in order to worship their God a three-day distance into the desert. This double mission is going to be reiterated here in the next two psukim. Pasuk Chavav, Hu Aaron Moshe asher amar Adonai lahem hotziu et bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim al tzivotam. This is the same Moshe and Aaron who God commanded them to the people of Israel to take them out of Egypt. That was the one job. And also, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Hem hamedabrim al Paro melech Mitzrayim lotzia bnei Yisrael meMitzrayim. They were also instructed to go speak and command Paro, the king of Egypt, to take the Jews out of the land of Egypt. Hu Moshe v'Aaron, these two leaders, Moshe and Aaron, are the same people we mentioned in the genealogies of Levi. These are the two leaders who God gave this double mission to. Pasuk Chav Chet, Vayhi b'yom diber Adonai el Moshe be'eretz Mitzrayim, and it came to pass on the day that God spoke to Moshe in the land of Egypt. Pasuk Chav Chet, the last line in the Aliyah, is very strange. It appears to be a half of a sentence, and we don't know what happened on that day. It says that it came to pass on the day that God spoke to Moshe in the land of Egypt. But what happened? Most commentators say it's referring to what's going to happen in the next pasuk, in Pasuk Chav Tet, in the beginning of Shlishi, that God told Moshe once again to go to Paro, even though that's a story already, which we had earlier in Perek Vav, in Pesukim Yud Aleph and Yud Bet. I'd like to suggest another possibility, that this pasuk may be an allusion to what the book of Yechezkel is explaining more specifically. What came to pass on the day that God spoke to Moshe in the land of Egypt? God told Moshe, go to Bnei Israel and get them to repent, to return to God, to rid themselves of their Egyptian ways, as we saw in Yechezkel Perachaf, in our study of the last Aliyah. As we explained, the book of Shemot only alludes to that negative behavior and has a very good excuse for that behavior, because V'lo Shemu Moshe Mikotzarach Mi'avodah Kasha. And it could be this little pasuk is an allusion that something indeed took place on the day that God talked to Moshe to take them out of Egypt. But it's a detail that the reader of Chumash will finally understand based on his study of the book of Yechezkel. In the next Aliyah, our focus will turn to the mission of Moshe and Aaron going to Paro. We'll continue that in our study tomorrow with Shlishi, the third Aliyah.